You know, I believe that our brother Pat understands me. There's no doubt in my mind, as Pat entered into glory Friday night, that he understood. For those of you who don't know, Pat Mullins passed away on Friday night. And, you know, the short time that I knew Pat, every conversation we ever had came back around to the gospel. And I appreciate a man's heart like that. And I want to remind you all, I was told to let you all know that there will be a memorial service Wednesday at 6:30 at Pat's cabin, which is just at their home. And so we will, I'm going to tell you all this now so I don't forget later. We'll be canceling our Wednesday night service, and as many of us as can go, we need to go and support Nancy and the family in this time. I know it's hard for them. I know they have no doubts where Pat is, but it's hard to lose a loved one. And so we want to be there for the family. So we will not have our Wednesday night service that night. I encourage you all to make it to the Mullins house for that memorial service. I want to take some time this morning, and I want to just I want to get us into the book of Philippians. Have y'all ever got a letter in the mail? Maybe you're out checking your mail, and normally it's just bills and other dumb stuff. I got this. You buy pens from a company one time, and they send you all kinds of different pens. And Don, they must have thought that this was for you because they put a bunch of rhinestones on it and whatnot. So I'll make sure it's got my name on it, but that way you remember me especially. So, sorry, it's just too easy. But have you ever got in your mailbox and you know it's just going to be bills and everything, and then you look underneath there and there's a card, and you're like, well, it's not my birthday, and it's not a special occasion. And you begin to open that card, and when you open that card, you begin to read that somebody has been praying for you, and they're thinking of you today, and they just give you a word of encouragement. Has anybody ever gotten that? You don't have to raise your hand. If you've ever gotten that, it brightens your day, it strengthens you, it gives you encouragement to continue to go on. Well, that's exactly what Paul's letter to the Philippians is. Paul writes this letter as an encouragement, and he is so excited to talk to them, and he longs to be with them, and he is just so ecstatic over their faith in Christ. And so he takes, in chapter 1, he gives just thanksgiving for them, and we're going to go ahead and read chapter 1 through 11, and then we'll come back to it. It says this, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, and that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart. Since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may prove the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. One thing I love about Paul is that no matter what Paul's circumstance is, no matter what he's going through or who he's chained to, he's thinking of other people. And that right there is a sermon in itself. That no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing that day, remember that Christ Jesus, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, has saved you, and that you are guaranteed eternity with him in heaven. And so here's the thing. quit stressing about the small stuff and be joyful about the fact that we are saved by grace, that God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and that our punishment has been paid for. We've been paid in full, and now we can live for Jesus each and every day. Remember that. And so Paul, and no matter where he's at, what he's doing, whether he's getting stoned, whether he's getting chained to a wall, whether he's getting hollered at, he gives joy and praise to God. Why? Because he remembers what it was like to be lost. He remembers his days when he would persecute Christians, and he understood that the people that were giving him the persecution and giving him the trials and tribulations, that they were lost too, and that he needed to have compassion for them because Jesus Christ showed compassion to him on that road to Damascus, on that faithful day when Paul thought he had, or Saul at that time, thought he had the world under his thumb. And God said, listen, pal, I'm in control. And he took away his sight. And he now, the strong man who would once go into cities and find Christians and kill them, was now being led by the hand into a city to not only to meet a person, but to meet a Jewish person, a Christian man, who he was probably at one time chasing. Ananias comes to him and heals him through the power of Christ. But you see, Paul writes like he does here because he understands what it was once like to live a life that was lost. Folks, we must always remember that we were once lost. And because of what Christ Jesus did in our lives, we should be on mission and we should be joyful each and every day because we have been given a second chance. And we should always anchor ourselves in that matter. Paul writes to them and he says, listen, I am so thankful for you. I am so thankful for the fact that this whole entire time that I've been gone away from you, all I've heard is good things. That you continue on praying, you continue on doing the work of the gospel, and you have not skipped a beat. Oh, how I long to be with you. Folks, that's encouragement. That's how we need to be each and every day encouraging others. Many of you have over the time have sent me cards and encouraging letters, and I appreciate those encouraging letters. It builds your pastor up and it gives me the strength to continue on. And I tell you what, he's not here today, but Robert Wheeler, many of you have received cards and different things from him over the years. That is a gift from God because Robert is good at it. Yes. And many times I would open up my mailbox and I would see a postcard from some crazy place, and it would be from Robert. Just an encouraging letter saying, hey, I was thinking about you today. And folks, I just encourage you to have that heart for encouragement. That you would say, listen, when you're praying and you're asking God how you should change things in your life and what needs to go, just say, Lord, who do I need to encourage today? Who should I write to? And then, you know, that's a thing that has been lost with IM and text messaging and all that other stuff, is that handwritten letter. You know, I apologize to some of you because Stacy and I don't often get our mail unless we know there's a package coming. We really don't go down there to get it because most of the time it's just junk, you know. And I've gone down there and there's been something in there, and I read the date. It's like, oh man, that's been a while ago, you know. So I would grab it and we get it and read it. So you know, it's encouraging to go down there and to see a letter from a loved one, and they're just encouraging you in your day. Hope you're having a great day. And you know, text messages work the same. You know, it's not quite as personal as a handwritten letter, but a text message works to say, you know somebody that is going through a tough time or a rough patch, give them a phone call. Call them. Send them a text. Tell them you're thinking about them. Praying about them. Folks, we should learn from Paul here the joy of being connected with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and we should be hungry to encourage them and hungry to watch them grow in their walk with Christ. It's that big D word that I'm always talking about, discipleship. That we should be working together with others and helping others that maybe are brand new to the faith learn to walk with Christ and how and what that looks like in their lives. We should have that heart to to be encouragers, to be disciple makers, to help them understand how they should combat these problems that they're facing in their lives. Being a Christian is not just a title. It's a commitment. It's a lifestyle change. Each and every day, we're on mission for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Philippi, the church of Philippi, man, they were hitting it out of the park. They were hitting it out of the park because Paul writes to them. He says, I long to be with you. Do you see the love that is in those words? Paul is, and you have to understand, Paul's been in prison a lot. But in this particular case, they believe that Paul was imprisoned in Rome at this time. As we look at different dates, and I'm not going to bore you with all that. But that we believe, it's not confirmed, but we believe that Paul was imprisoned at Rome at this moment in time. And so he is chained to a Roman guard. He's kind of on house arrest, but he's got a Roman guard with him. And in a moment, we're going to get to that. And it's even cooler how Paul uses that to his advantage. But he is writing to these people, encouraging them. He's in prison, writing to them and encouraging them to live a life, continue on living, and that one day I hope I can be with you. I was enamored at the love that is in this passage for a church of many that Paul has, just one of many churches that Paul has started. He's an encourager. Why? Because we come under one banner. We follow Jesus Christ. And we can come together under that banner. And we encourage each other to grow stronger in God's word and grow stronger in our faith in Jesus Christ and continue on living it out daily. Chapter 1, 12 through 18 says this. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and everyone else. And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ Jesus is proclaimed. In this I rejoice. Paul is chained to a guard. I don't know if you caught that, but he says, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances, meaning my imprisonment, have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. I have a captive audience, essentially. Imprisonment in the cause of Christ has come well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard. That means a Praetorian Guard is the governor's palace. So Paul is chained to a Roman guard, okay? And I'm guessing that it wasn't the same Roman guard. So each and every day, Paul was chained to a new person. And so it's like bringing dead fish, a big T-bone steak to a hungry lion. Paul is ready to preach the gospel, and day after day, they chain a new one to him. And he's looking at it, he's saying, listen, this is my opportunity to share the gospel. So listen, folks, I know that I'm in prison and I can't be with you, but understand that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. I am not ashamed, I'm not hurt, I'm not stumbling, I am looking forward to each and every day sharing the gospel with the entire Praetorian Guard, the governor's palace, and everyone else. And then he goes on to say, he says, not only that, but now because of my imprisonment, some of those people have gotten saved, and because of my imprisonment, because of my faithfulness in following Christ, they are stronger today. They are encouraged. They speak out with boldness because they know that they will be okay because God has protected Paul up until this moment. They speak out in courage of the gospel of Jesus Christ because they see what Paul has done. And they know that if Paul trusts in this Jesus that says that he saved us and he's going to take us into heaven one of these days, then I'm going to live a life with boldness and courage, and I'm going to preach the gospel each and every day as well. And so not only does he get a guard, a new potential Christian, chained to him every day. But now, because of his imprisonment, people are coming to the Lord, and they're not just coming to the Lord and going, well, that's great, I'm a Christian. No, they're coming to the Lord, and they are bold. They are encouraged at what Paul has done, and what Christ has done through Paul, and given him that encouragement to preach the gospel, even though he's in a weird situation. Now, you all remember from our study in Acts that Paul got bounced around a lot, Felix and Festus, and for many years he was just in prison and kind of forgotten about. But now the word is getting out, and they're seeing the faithfulness of Paul, and they're encouraged at his faith in Christ. And so they're coming to know the Lord. And he goes on to say in the last part of that, that listen, there are some, there are 15, and some, to be sure, are preaching Christ. Even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. So these people are talking about Jesus. They're preaching this message, but they're doing it in a sarcastic way. They're kind of poking fun at it. But Paul, does Paul get upset at the fact that they're poking at Christ? Does Paul get hurt that they're not doing it the right way? Paul says, no. No, I'm not upset that they're doing it, because you know what they're doing? They're telling people about Jesus. And my God is strong enough to overcome that. And so I'm encouraged that people are having the conversation. I'm encouraged that people are talking about Jesus Christ, because one day my hopes is that they would be saved. He says there at the end, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. So let the haters hate. Let the haters hate and put down Jesus. Listen, you do not have to defend God. He's been hated on for years. What Christ and what God asked you to do is to stand. You stand firm in what you believe and what God has done in your life. But don't get in a screaming match over the fact that somebody doesn't like Jesus. You got to love them. You got to encourage them. You got to show them in your life that Christ lives in you. So we should be encouraging others. And we should be preaching the gospel no matter what the circumstances. If you're a note taker, those are the first 2 points. We should be encouraging to others. And secondly, we need to be preaching the gospel no matter what the circumstance in our life. We must always look for the brighter side in our outcome, in our circumstance. Paul was chained up, and he saw a fresh, new person every day, almost, probably. And he saw that as an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that he came in contact with. Verse 19 through 26 says this, yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation of hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul is encouraging here. He's saying, listen, I'm in a tough situation, but whether I live or I die, Christ will be exalted. He goes on in 21, he says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is to gain. But if I am to live on in this flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed for both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you in the progress of joy and in faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Paul says, listen, I understand that I'm in a terrible situation. I understand that life is not good for me right now because I don't have my freedom, but understand this, that to live is Christ, but to die is to gain. Folks, speaking of Pat, I believe that was where Pat saw it. Pat wanted to live, and Pat wanted to be there for his family and be around his family. But he also understood that to die is to gain. That if we die on this earth, that we are, and we believe in Jesus Christ, and he's our Lord and Savior, that we will stand before Christ, and we will hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And I believe that this morning about our friend Pat. He lived for Jesus. Paul lived for Jesus, and he said, "Listen, I understand that I'm in a terrible situation. I understand that my life has been stripped from me, but I also understand that I have a mission, that God has placed me in this place to reach people for Jesus Christ. And so if I live through this situation, bonus, I'm going to do God's will. If I die, even more of a bonus, because I'll be in the presence of my Lord." And folks, that is the way that we must live our lives. If we get to live on this earth a few more years, awesome. But if we don't, and we understand who Jesus is in our life, and we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior, then we can walk in this life with confidence that if I'm hit by a bus, or if I have a heart attack, or whatever happens, that I will be in the presence of my Lord, and that it will be sad for my family members on this earth, but it will be a joyful time, because they will know by the fruits of my labor that I'm in the presence of my God, my Father. That is how we should live our lives. We should live for Christ each and every day. Paul says in verse 27, there, he says, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or remain absent, I will hear of you, I will hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Experience the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Paul reminds them to conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Live a life that is worthy of the call. Live for Jesus. Don't live for the things of this world, because they will fail. They will rot. They will rust. They will fail you in some way. And I can promise you this, that at no point in my life has Jesus Christ ever failed me. In the time that I need him the most, he sends people to my aid. In the time that I need him the most, he sends his word to my aid. And when the time that I need him most, he speaks to me in prayer. And so I have no doubt that he will never disappoint. I have no doubt that he will never continue providing for me. And I hope this morning that you have that confidence as Paul has, and that I have, that Jesus Christ will continue. He will continue to provide for us. As long as we continue to live for him and trust in him and draw closer to him. Listen, it is hard to hear the word of God when we continually put things in the way and in front of him. He never stops speaking to us, but the thing that we do is we put things that are, according to us, more important to us in front of him. And further we get away from God, the harder and harder it is to hear his words. And so, in a loose translation, shut up and listen to God. Be still and know that I am God. Hear his words. Don't change it to what you want to hear. But be quiet and listen. Understand what God has for you. So, number one, encouraging. We should be encouraging to others. Number two is that we should preach the gospel of Jesus Christ no matter the circumstance. The best way to do that, and how Paul did it a lot, was he shared his testimony. He told people what God did in his life. And that's all you need. Point three, that we should be joyful in living or dying. Whether I get to live, I don't know, I'm 32 now. If I get to live 20, 30, 40, 10, 5, I don't want to tell my wife's not here, so she's not going to get upset at me for saying I'm not going to live that long. But if I only live till tomorrow, I don't live till this afternoon, don't cry for me. Don't cry for me. rejoice in the fact that I'm standing in the presence of my Father. And that's how we got to live. And no matter what we face on this in this world, in this life, that we have a promise, we have a gift waiting for us that is beyond all other things. And it's greater than all other things. And so we must live a joyful life, whether we know, whether we live or die. Folks, you look at our prayer list, and there is person after person after person dealing with cancer and going through different struggles in their life. And recently, a friend of mine went through, he had a tumor in his front lobe. Going into that surgery, they were supposed to be able to keep him awake. And so while they removed it all, that they could tell his speech pattern was gone. But this young man is a very faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And he understood that that brain surgery could go either way. But he also understood that no matter what happened, that he would be in the presence of his Father. And so he had boldness going into that, whether it worked out well or it didn't, that either he was going to get to live in this life and continue to do the fruitful work of our Father, or he was going to be standing in the presence of his Father. And you know what? He gets to Texas, gets there, and they say, listen, we can remove it all without having you awake. It's not even part of your in your brain that handles the speech. We can get it all with surgery. What a praise. But you understand that he went into that knowing, not knowing what was going to happen, and he trusted in God. And in this case, God's will was that he lived, he continued to be able to do his will here on this earth. And so understand that it is a privilege to live and breathe on this earth, to do the work of the Father while we are here. And it should be a joyful work. And God calls us home. God calls us home. Hey, it don't get better than that. I don't care what you've seen on this earth that is beautiful and awesome. And I've seen a lot of cool things, folks. Nothing compares to heaven. Standing in the presence of our Father. So this morning I encourage you to encourage others. I encourage you to preach the gospel no matter what the circumstance. And I encourage you to live a life that is joyful whether you live or you die. Always looking forward to the promise of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the many blessings you give us. We thank you for the time we've had here this morning to open your word. And Father, just to see the love that Paul has for the church of Philippi. And Father, just the encouraging words that he writes to them. And hopefully this morning, Father, we feel encouraged. And we feel recommissioned, Father, to go out and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with all those come in contact with us, Father. Understanding that we are dead people walking. Understanding that one day we're going to die. Our ticket is going to be called, and we're going to head home. But understanding that while we are here on this earth and we live this life, that it is an honor to be able to have in our hearts and on our tongues the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to understand that. Help us to realize that. As we leave these doors, as we go out this afternoon, Father, help us to remember what you have done for us, and be joyful and rejoice in all of that. Encouraging others and sharing our faith with others, Father, help us to do that with boldness and courage. Lord, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know who Jesus is, Lord, maybe they've never heard his name, maybe they don't understand that they have a sin problem and that they need a Savior to take away that sin, to pay that price, Father, I pray this morning that they would understand who you are. Lord, that they would ask the right questions, that we would be able to share with them who you are and what you've done for us on the cross. Dying on that cross, taking all of our sin and paying that price in full. Giving us the wonderful opportunity that if we place our faith and trust in you, that we will live with you forever in glory. Father, help us to share that with those this morning. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you, that they would just submit to you, Father. Realize there is no life better than a life of service committed to you, Father. The rewards are great. The retirement is awesome. So, Father, we thank you for that. Lord, Lord, just encourage us as we go today. We ask this all in your name. Amen. I'll be here in the front. The band's going to play. And listen, I stand out here in the front in case you have questions. The decision to follow Christ is all on you. You've got to ask God into your heart and your life. There's no magic words I can say, no hand motions I can do over the top of you. It's a decision that you have to make on your own to follow Christ. It's a time of submission. No longer am I going to live for myself, but I'm going to live for you. Trusting that he did do those things on the cross that we've preached about this morning. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing, and I'll be here in the front. If you have questions about any of that, I'll be here to answer them. Let's sing.